Today, my guest is James Bender. James, how you doing?
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited to have you back on my show.
I just realized you asked me how I was doing, and I didn't answer your question. I answered it with a question, which is kind of rude. But I'm doing fine.
The implication was I'm awesome.
That is true. That is true.
Thanks for saying so, by the way. What were we talking about again?
Angular, I think.
Yeah, but first I want to say it's great to have you back after like a 5-year absence.
I know. I was taking it personally. I'm glad to be back.
I wonder if I'd done something wrong. You were busy. You were going through that phase of your life. Now you're going on to the next phase of your life, which, by the way, you're more awesome than you were.
Well, thank you.
And let's talk about Angular, because I don't know if you know this. I'm actually I'm learning Angular right now. I mean, when I say I'm learning, I mean I'm like for a week.
Sure.
After no experience, I've spent a week kind of immersing myself in it, going through Pluralsight courses, putting together a little sample app. I'm still totally a noob, but I like it. It's cool. It's fun.
Yeah, it's. I kind of started looking at it for a couple reasons. I've always been kind of a big fan of JavaScript because, you know, you talk about different platforms. You have .NET, Java, Ruby, Python, whatever, PHP, whatever. But when you think about it, JavaScript's the thing that kind of ties us all together. Mm-hmm. It's one kind of common ground we all have. And I think that kind of explains why it's kind of had a popular resurgence. I think also this idea that you can write good code in JavaScript. I mean, I remember the days when web forms came out, JavaScript was kind of this annoyance you had to deal with.
Yeah.
And people wrongly blame JavaScript. Not to say JavaScript doesn't have its problems inherent in the language, but I think people wrongly blame JavaScript. It was really the way WinForms kind of worked with things like munging the HTML IDs.
Web forms.
I'm sorry. You're right. Web forms. And I think so.
That
JavaScript
was part of the problem. It was also I struggled with JavaScript. I didn't until jQuery came along. JavaScript was for me was really difficult.
Well, and Rod Paddock has a great line. People don't hate JavaScript. People hate the DOM.
Yes.
And I think he's absolutely right. And it's just the inconsistencies in the DOM. Mm-hmm. But there were some other things that helped, too. There were really no good debugging tools for JavaScript at the time. Yeah. And there were no unit testing frameworks for JavaScript at the time. And that's all changed now. Mm-hmm. So I think it's made JavaScript itself more accessible. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a big benefit to that. And also, it's just become more exciting. And the reason I went to Angular, aside from the fact that I had a lot of clients showing interest in it, and I was seeing a lot of things other people were doing, and they were just fascinating, is I think as developers, you know, we tend to work in a technology stack. And I think our choice of technology sometimes affects how we code.
Yes.
And I think as developers, we should every couple years look at our style, look at our technique, and stop and break it down and rebuild it. And a few years ago, I did that with F# and functional programming.
Okay.
And I found it really kind of changed the way I thought approached my C#, and I was writing better C#. So I kind of did the same thing with JavaScript because JavaScript's got a lot of things in common with C#. But it's got a lot of things that are different, too, a lot of things you have to change. So just moving to that language, I think, has kind of changed the way I think about software development in C# as well.
Hmm.
And when you look at Angular is kind of a great way to get into that SPA type of thing. Now, there's
SPA
other frameworks coming, a single-page application,
yep.
Which does not mean you put everything in your application in one HTML file, which I've seen people do, and it's just like, that's not what that means.
Okay.
So Angular is a great way to build those. The other... And there's other frameworks coming out, too, now. There's React, and Knockout is still around. Uh-huh. And, you know, we can debate which one's better or worse. It's kind of like, I like Coke, you like Pepsi, whatever.
Yeah. And there's, I mean, we say there's other frameworks. There's a lot of, like, every 20 minutes or so, somebody just picks that down out of the dictionary and adds .js on the end.
Well, there's a joke in the office. You have assigned X days since last JavaScript framework.
Yeah,
and
there's just an explosion.
Actually, while we've been talking, two new frameworks have come out. So go check those out. You know, and they all have their benefits, and they all have their problems. And, you know, honestly, it's a good thing that all these frameworks come out because it kind of pushes the envelope. But as someone who's trying to sell this to clients, it's a problem, too, because we tend to come off as flaky, where we have a new shiny object every 6 weeks. So it's trying to get through that. But I think what's helping Angular is the fact that Microsoft has embraced it by putting a lot of the stuff in Visual Studio. Now
yes.
You not only have the Angular stuff, you have Gulp and you have Grunt, and I believe you have Less and Sass built in there, too.
Right.
And a lot of these other things kind of supporting the Angular story that are helping as well. So I'm really, it's a good time to be a .NET developer who's interested in Angular and JavaScript.
Cool. What does Angular do for you that raw JavaScript does not do for you?
So what Angular is going to do for you is it's going to kind of provide an infrastructure. And just to kind of sum up what Angular does, it basically gives you MVC functionality on the client side.
Okay, Model View Controller.
Model View Controller. Where you have your views, and those are kind of like Razor views now. You have some templating in there to help you kind of flesh out what it's going to look like. And then you have your controllers. And your controllers are written in JavaScript that runs on the client side. So they run in the browser. And the idea is you're going to hit web services on the back end. Traditionally, REST web services, which I find work great. You write a web API service, hit it from your JavaScript controller.
Okay.
So what you get is you get a good user experience. Because what happens is you don't get a full page refresh, which automatically makes the user happier, because the perception, whether it's true or not, is that that takes forever.
Yeah, it does take longer.
It does take a long time. True. And honestly, if, depending upon how you bring your data back into your controller, that can take a long time too if you're not careful, but the perception is that it's faster.
Okay.
So that helps the user as well. And it also kind of helps you organize things, keep things better organized on the client side. And it just, it tends to create a better user experience. And it also kind of helps with separation of concerns. For one thing, my back-end guys who are just now writing up to the web API point can focus on just creating a great web API service. And my guys who are working on the front end can focus on just creating a great front-end user experience.
I see.
And there's a couple benefits that go along with that as well. You have Angular is great on mobile. It works well on mobile phones or mobile devices.
Yeah. And even better now because Ionic is built on top of Angular,
right,
which is
absolutely
mobile.
And it's great for that. And when I have my back end, it's just a web API that's exposed, I can hang any front end on that I want. If I decide I want an iPhone app, I can build that. If I decide I want to tie it into a service bus, I can do that. If I want a traditional WPF application, I can build that too. And it's the same backplane for everything.
I see.
And so it really opens things up great. And Angular, again, gives you that infrastructure on the client side. And it gives you some other things too. It makes testing easier because you put everything in controller classes, which kind of abstracts everything away, so it's not all tied up in the view. I'm sure you've seen JavaScript, done JavaScript, where you have that script tag in your HTML. It's all in there, and it's just kind of a mess to try and test and separate out.
Yeah, separation of concerns, one of the advantages is better testability.
Oh, absolutely. And that, and especially when you think about, there's really no compiler for JavaScript, so you really need those tests to ensure that you're building what you think you're building,
yes.
Especially because it's also a dynamic language, so you don't have the type safety if as opposed to like something like C# or TypeScript.
Right.
So it's really important to have those tests in there, and that's another thing that the way Angular kind of promotes that makes it a lot easier as well.
Is there a reason why you picked Angular rather than Knockout or Backbone or some other?
Well, we've been using Knockout and Backbone in the, Knockout and Backbone in the past.
Well done.
Thank you. And there's nothing inherently wrong with those frameworks, but we felt Angular offered, the Angular server, I think, was a little bit easier. It just seemed a little bit more logical.
Yep.
And to be honest, with Google backing it, it was easier to sell it to clients than the other tools. They would hear Backbone or Knockout, and they'd be like, whatever. But Angular resonates with them.
That's good.
And so it's easier to go into clients and say, we're going to build you an Angular app. They're like, okay, great. Whereas even right now, if we go in and we say Knockout or React or even Ember, they kind of wig out. And it's like, you JavaScript guys, you're always changing your mind. But Angular has become kind of the gold standard, at least for clients in my
space. It is very popular.
Yeah. So it's a lot easier to sell an Angular project. And honestly, I think it's one of the easier ways to go. Now, there's other things coming out. Like React is very interesting, the way it approaches by doing web components, JSX. That takes a little getting used to, but it's... there's certain benefits to doing that.
True.
Angular 2 is going to be much different than Angular 1.
Yeah, it's going to use TypeScript, I heard.
Yeah, it's going to use TypeScript. So I think there's going to be something there. So it's interesting to see how these things evolve over time.
Right.
And I know people are kind of freaked out about all this, but they have to remember, we're still early in this ecosystem, and things are still evolving. We're still kind of learning the best ways to do this. I remember when .NET upgraded from, I think, 1.1 to 2, and everybody lost their minds too, and it was the same thing. We're still, you know, this is still kind of version 1, and we're still learning how to do this. So there's going to be those pains.
What was the biggest challenge in being a .NET developer and starting to dive into JavaScript frameworks like Angular?
Honestly, it wasn't the framework itself, because I've been doing a lot of JavaScript, and I already kind of knew how a lot of that worked. The thing that was the most challenging, I think, was the ecosystem around Angular, things like Gulp, things like Bower, things like NPM, because there's really no one source to explain how all these things work together. And so that was really kind of just understanding that ecosystem, how to work, how to write Gulp tasks, what is Gulp, what is Grunt, why are they different, which one should I use,
Okay. What
things I need to get from Bower, what things I need to get from BPM, how to basically build all the things that support my Angular application.
Yeah, people that work in Visual Studio, they're used to a lot of guidance.
Visual
Studio
kind
of holds your hands and takes you down a path. You can change that, but there is a happy path.
Right. I mean, you hit F5 and you go. There's no F5 for Angular, unfortunately. You have to understand how these processes work.
I see. We're starting to get really loud here, so let's wrap it up. I just want to tell us about yourself. Are you blogging about this stuff?
I had a kind of a hiatus from blogging. I've started picking it back up. It's very sporadic, just kind of whenever something I feel like talking about, I'm talking about it.
You have an online presence, though, somewhere, right?
I do. I'm on Twitter a lot. I've kind of abandoned Facebook. Paradoxically, I found the signal-to-noise ratio much easier to manage on Twitter, which seems weird. But I'm on Twitter a lot, so that's probably the best place to.
And your handle is?
Call me. James Bender.
James, thank you so much.
Thanks, Dave. This is a show about technology and friends.